Welcome to another episode of the Faith Work Rest podcast. Our mission is to help people discern their vocations and reimagine their occupation for the good of their neighbor and the glory of God. We're part of the Surge Network. It's a network of local churches united to put Jesus on display in their community. You can learn more at surgenetwork.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Faith, Work, and Rest podcast. This is Lauren Kutzko. I'm here with Jim Mullins and Kimberly Deckel. And we've got an exciting episode today because it's the last one of the season. And so we're kind of talking about 2018, all the episodes that we've done, reflecting on some of our favorites. And yeah, we're excited to do this last show for you.
Yeah, we're going to do something a little different today. Basically, we're going to listen to a few of our favorite clips from former episodes and reflect on how they shaped us or what stood out to us about them. I'm looking forward to it. This is a good episode to celebrate. A lot of good things have happened in this last year of being a part of the Faith Work and Rest Initiative. We've coached over 30 people with Lauren's sharp questions and good assessments and ability to really help people discern and navigate the questions of vocation. And we've done over 30 podcast episodes, and we are looking forward to some things next year that we're pretty excited about. What are you guys excited about? Do we want to give people a few morsels, a little taste of what's coming in 2019?
Yeah. So I'm really excited just about hearing different and new voices. I enjoy just hearing from people and their stories and their thoughts specifically around vocation and faith and just how they intersect. I'm especially looking forward to hearing more female voices next year.
So. Yeah.
You guys all have that to look forward to, too.
And that's not wishful thinking. We've got the invitations out right now. Yeah. We're getting some responses. Yeah. How about you, man? What are you looking forward to?
Man, this year's just been so awesome. So many people we've gotten to hear from, and we're about to play some of the clips, but what an amazing array of people that we've been able to have on this past year. Like you said, over 30 episodes. It's hard to even believe that that much time has gone on that we've been able to interview and speak with and share that many thousands of listeners. Have reached out and said how much they appreciate what we're doing. And so, yeah, just for next year, excited to see more of that happen. We've had some pastors of churches locally reach out, say that they'd really like us to help them kind of embed more awareness and integration of faith and work and rhythms of rest into the people in their congregations walk with God every day. So we're looking at how to do that well and engaging with those churches. So, yeah, we've got some exciting things coming down the road.
Yeah, we've built some new partnerships. We have a few new ways that we're going to roll some things out. And as much as I want to talk about them right now on this podcast, I will refrain. I probably even could, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to leave that little bit of suspense there that no one actually probably really cares about that suspense.
somebody out there waiting anxiously and can't wait to hear.
My wife will be kind of interested. She'll be like, hey, why don't you just tell me the thing that you're talking about? Because it's going to affect my schedule, I'm sure.
You have to listen to episode 47.
That's right. That's right. So without doing any more cliffhangers, maybe we should just jump in to our favorite clips of the year. We each picked one clip. We could have picked dozens, but we're going to play them for you. And we are going to spend a little time reflecting on what was said. So Kimberly, who do you have? Why don't you start us out?
Yeah, so I chose Caitlin Beatty. Hers was one of the interviews that I think I said when we reflected on it that I could have talked about it for like hours. There were just so many pieces of it. So it was a little bit hard to pick one, but I did. I chose one about 5-minute section that I think just really spoke to me, and I'd really like to just kind of dig down a little bit deeper.
Remind us who Caitlin is.
Yeah, so Caitlin formerly was the editor at Christianity Today. Mm-hmm. Currently she works for
Brazos.
Yes, a publishing company.
Yeah.
And then also she's the author of a book called A Woman's Place. And that book just kind of talks through like what the role of women looks like in vocation and work and the workplace, especially amongst Christian women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Let's listen.
My sense of calling goes beyond just here's what you need to know to here's how you should move forward. So there's an element of leading there, even though it's very indirect, you know, but that sense of leadership, I think, was definitely shaped in me at Christianity Today. And then we've had a very similar experience with A Woman's Place, you know, wanting to shape how the church and maybe especially Christian women think about their work and helping them think about it and approach it in a more theologically informed way that I hoped would be helpful, inspiring, and challenging in the best way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things I've noticed, and I think you've alluded to it there, is that in your work, you've tended to move towards issues that are very tense. One of those being the political discourse that's happening in the U.S. and issues of justice connected to it. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that in this season, there really is a tendency to either respond with retreat or rage, but a real hesitancy to step into that intense, controversial space and to speak with nuance, wisdom, listening, and yet boldness at the same time. It really stood out to me when you guys wrote the editorial about critiquing Trump and stepping into some of those controversial things. So I want to ask, how have you in this season and other seasons, what have you learned about leadership in the midst of controversy?
Yes. Well, I have learned that it is not for the faint of heart.
Sure.
I think one thing that I have learned both as an editor at Christianity Today and then beyond CT as a freelance writer is that criticism and disagreement is just part of the leadership game. Like if you are someone who wants to please everybody, or in some sense, maybe, is called to be more of a peacemaker or to really be focused on relational unity, that is a very good and needed type of leadership. But I think most leaders at some point have to adjust to the idea that not everybody is going to like them or agree with them. And especially if you are leading in a place like the internet, which, the internet and especially social media have just become really contentious, sometimes very ugly places for discourse. And so, I personally have a support group. I mean, not very unofficial, I don't pay these people to support me, but basically a group of friends who are also writing for the public, where it's just a safe space. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place to kind of process what's going on. I think that's absolutely essential if you are leading on divisive topics, to know that you will probably take some personal hits for it. And so you need people kind of in your corner in that process. The internet can be a really ugly place. I think we're in a very divided, contentious place in our kind of national moment. And so I think, retreat for me has never been an option, because I think that Christians are called to engage the issues of the day. I think that Christians are called to have an outward facing posture toward their neighbors, toward their communities, towards the broader civil society. But I also, the retreat and rage model that you mentioned earlier, rage can be a really powerful temptation, and it's not good. I think there is such a thing as righteous anger.
Yeah, but, right.
Going on Twitter and putting someone on blast or kind of raging about something in 280 characters, it like satisfies an itch, but it doesn't really get us towards something constructive. And it doesn't usually advance the conversation. So I think somewhere between retreat and rage is something like prophetic engagement, and truth telling. Christians are to be known in the public square as truth tellers. And sometimes that means saying and speaking truths that are hard for people to hear and that will incite backlash. And I think that's just part of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question, but
just no, absolutely.
Bring it full circle. It is not for the faint of heart, and you definitely need a good support system and like ways to disengage.
So tell us why you chose that one.
Yeah. So there's a lot about that little clip. And I think, like I said, with so much of her interview, there are just a lot of things that I took away from that. Like, I also loved when she starts talking more about her book and about like women and vocation in the church, because that's something that also just speaks really closely to me. But I think I especially loved this clip because of just like the current culture that we're living in and just the amount of division that exists, I think, especially amongst Christians. And so I think the way that she talked around that, just I related to it so much because I've always felt a really strong call vocationally in so many of the different things I'm doing to speak out on certain issues, but to do it in a way that is hopefully like my goal is to do it in a way that is also like grace-filled and not blaming or pointing the finger. And so just the way she spoke through that, the idea of just like having that voice that Christians should be facing outward, that we are actually called to speak out on things like that. I mean, we were joking earlier about Thanksgiving and not talking about politics and stuff. And so, you know, it's that kind of like joke or whatever that you shouldn't talk about politics with people. But I think actually we're really called to talk about, and I almost think of it more around like issues of justice and issues that affect people in our community and like in civilly, I guess. And so I think that those things, as believers, we have a pretty clear guide from Jesus and from Scripture on how we're to like speak out on those things. And some of just the language that she used around it was really helpful to me. And I think especially in terms of just like leadership, she talked about it kind of being almost a different type of leadership when there's certain topics, right, that they kind of started with this when she was at Christianity Today, where they had this editorial that was called Where We Stand, where there were certain things that they just felt it was really important to give a clear stand and a clear voice on. And that's something that I've always believed and that I think is really nuanced and that now in the roles that I'm in with Surge and also with planting a church that I'm doing especially a lot of thinking around. So like, what are the things that we really need to be speaking out on that people are going to get, some people will be mad at us, right? Like, not everybody's going to love us. And that, like, my personality, I definitely tend to be a people pleaser. And so I think in the way that God has called me to lead, a lot of that has been to speak out on issues, but to do it in a way that's scripturally based, that points toward Jesus and what he would have us do, but also just accepting that some of the things I have to say, like not everybody will love them.
Yeah.
And so hearing her talk through that, you know, and it's not for the faint of heart, was helpful just in the terms of like, man, I can relate to that. And I think that for a lot of us, like when we're thinking about vocation, whether it's like our paid job, whether it's work we do like in our homes, whatever it might be, there are certain times that we're really called to speak up on things, especially in how we care for God's people. So yeah, it really stuck out for me for those reasons. And then I think toward the end, she talked about that on one end, there's kind of that idea of retreating completely, and we're not called to that. But on the other end, there's rage, right? And there's somewhere in the middle of that. And in that, she talked about like prophetic engagement. And I just really love that term. I think that makes so much sense. And I think like my hope for myself is that I will really think through that and be really careful in how I'm speaking and what I'm saying, but also won't let like fear cause me to retreat.
Right. Yeah. You know, what stands out to me about that is choosing to speak up when you're like in the middle of something.
Totally.
Versus standing from a distance. Mm-hmm. Everyone can be very bold about the policies that are happening in India or some of the injustice that's happening so far away from you that your boldness costs you nothing.
Right.
But she is standing in the middle of the 81% who voted for Trump and with Christianity Today and spoke out on that. And I think for a lot of people in their particular places of occupation, they see some of the things that need to be noted and spoken up about, and they're in the middle of it. And that's when you're most tempted to either respond with rage and just quit,
right,
or retreat and just say, I'm not going to say anything. But you're probably the most important person to engage those things.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was great having Caitlin on the show. I agree with everything that you guys said. I think just having somebody that's in this position, has held multiple positions of leadership and authority, and is speaking out about these topics and as a woman was just really refreshing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been so blessed by having a lot of really strong female leaders in my life and my upbringing. My particular household wasn't seek the kingdom first sort of household necessarily. But just in my walk of faith, I've had a lot of female leaders that were really important to me. And having her on the show and her role in these topics, addressing these and speaking out and having that prophetic witness was mm-hmm. really good. I really appreciated that. It was good having her on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. good. I want to turn to Dr. Kurt Thompson. That seems like a nice, it's a nice contrast because on one hand, you have this the boldness of Caitlin and the gentleness of mm-hmm. Dr. Kurt Thompson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a clip here that I chose that stood out to me because of the language, how he talks about preaching the gospel in the language of neuroscience. Mm-hmm. I love that phrase, and I wanted to listen to what he had to say about that and then unpack that a little bit.
It's, as I like to say to people, my work in the world is to preach the gospel in the language of neuroscience. And in the last 15 years in particular, I think there have been new discoveries that have only enhanced the opportunity to do that.
How do you preach the gospel in the language of neuroscience?
I would say that we do it in the way that we preach the gospel in anyway. And that, I think, is that I think that we can preach the gospel in the language of education, in the language of mechanical engineering, because I think the gospel is the declaration, as N.T. Wright would suggest, the declaration that in Jesus, God has become king. And this kingdom that is led by a king who lived, died, and we believe audaciously that he was raised from the dead and then ascended and now lives at the right hand of God, he's Lord over everything. And so to talk about anything truly is to talk about God's kingdom. Because if I talk about anything, any realm, any domain of vocation whatsoever, I'm talking about a vocational domain over which Jesus is Lord. And so if I talk about physics, if I talk about Van Gogh, if I talk about Jesus in the Gospel of John, we're talking about the gospel. And eventually, of course, if we're talking about it creatively enough and energetically enough, and I think winsomely enough, people are going to be asking questions about where is all this coming from? To which we would say, well, our king is in charge of this. Our king has made this. What are you talking about? We live in a democracy. Well, right, if that's the only world that you know that exists. And so I would say that I preach the gospel in the language of neuroscience by talking about what the brain does, how the brain is in relationship with relationships, how they shape each other, and also how that is functioning in the context of a biblical anthropology. What that means in part is as we talk with patients and as we talk at conferences, the mission is to hopefully effectively weave together the grand narrative of what brain science is talking about, but in light of what Genesis tells us about this and how brain science reflects an anthropology of God in Genesis, how it reflects what it means for us to have a right and left hemispheric integration in the reading and the living of the Psalms, right? This place of language that is poetic and full of song. What it means for us to be embedded literally in the story of the gospel, not just this metaphor or abstract notion of a story, but like, what would it be like for me to be sitting at the table when Jesus comes to find Matthew? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? Recognizing that that, in fact, is a function of how we are telling all of our stories. And we would suggest then that in the storytelling process that is all about the attachment research that we now know about, in the storytelling process of our lives, God has come to find us in Jesus. In the same way that when a child is in distress, a parent who cares about the child comes to find the child and is attuned to the child. And we would suggest, well, of course, secure attachment is a reflection of how God operates. And this new science that we're learning about, I would suggest, is only new from the standpoint that we're now putting words to it, we're now putting research models to it, and so forth. It's not because it's actually new. It's been around for as long as humans have been around in terms of like how we actually work, how we actually function. It's just that now we are finding words to talk about it, ways to describe it, and ways to understand it that we perhaps didn't understand before, despite the fact that it's always been in play. As such, for me, I think this is a reflection of what we read in the 14th chapter, the 17th verse of the book of Acts, when Paul is talking to the Lycosians, and he's talking with them about how God has been with them and has been speaking to them by giving them rain and giving them harvest. And then he says in verse 17, for God does not leave himself without a witness. And in this day and time when people don't have an easy time hearing or receiving the kind of typical Western metaphors and motifs that the church has offered for the last 500 years, neuroscience has become really attractive. People pay attention to information about the brain and about relationships and so forth. And it's been a beautiful thing to watch God, who does not leave himself without a witness, take these very things of creation that he has made and now is weaving them back to once again tell with a fresh voice the story that has always been true.
What stood out to me about that is that this guy, he's a neuroscientist, a psychiatrist who has really studied the brain. He has kind of stumbled upon this idea that for him to master his craft and fully understand how the mind works and how people work and how neuroscience works is to describe an aspect of God's world and almost to describe and paint a picture of the kingdom the way that God really intended it. So it seems like the deeper you get in whatever your subject of expertise is, and the better you're at it, and the more you understand it, the more you are stumbling upon the way that God made it to be and giving people a little taste of the kingdom, and therefore preaching the gospel in the language of neuroscience or gardening or email or accounting or whatever. So that's what stood out to me. That episode was good because it has a lot of nuggets like that, but then it has a lot of things that help people know how to rest and to engage their right brain, their creative aspects of the brain. I don't know. What'd you guys think about that podcast?
And just for the sake of the listener, is that the part one or part two of Kurt Thompson?
That's part one.
Part one, yeah. So definitely check that out for that clip. I love the imagery of just Jesus being our king and ushering in the kingdom. I feel like that's been more helpful lately in our current political environment. I've been, you know, just feeling the weight of just everything that's been going on in our government. And I think in the past, for some reason, that kind of harkening back to the king idea, the you know, sort of a different way of ruling, which obviously a lot of places in the world still have kings and are kingdoms, but, you know, has, at least in my own understanding of history, has kind of always been like, that's the way that it used to be. And now we have this sort of different thing. But lately, it's really just felt like a weight off to know that my God is the King of Kings. And everything that's going on is still underneath that. And we don't really need to be so upset. We don't really need to, like, this is not the end of the story. This is a part of the story. And so I love just kind of even him bringing, Kurt bringing that back and reminding us that we are declaring that Jesus is the King. That is our job. And in the current political environment, that's a pretty comforting thought.
How do you think that affects people when they view their particular work as outside the realm of what Jesus reigns over and cares about?
How do I think it affects them?
How do you think it affects their work?
The knowledge that we're part of God's kingdom?
Yeah, no, I would say that if someone's mindset is that their work does not fall under the reign of Christ, it is not a part of his kingdom and what he cares about, that definitely changes the way that you engage.
Well, that's what leads to, I feel like, what most work is like. That's how it is allowed to be a dualistic thing where, yes, I believe this in my theology or in my faith. I believe this to be true of the world over here on this one side. I'm using hand signals for Jim and Kimberly, but I know you guys can't see those.
They're good hands.
But on the other side, right, is my work, and it's a separate thing. And there's all these areas of life that are separate. But if you start to realize that God is the king of all, and there's no part of the world that are not underneath that kingdom, underneath that authority, then that's why it includes our work. And so when you see again that that work, you know, most of our occupations are the place that most of us spend the majority of life, and that it's part of that. Mm-hmm. It's part of that declaration. Then that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're doing the Faith, Work, and Rest Initiative. That's what gets us excited, that all of God's people can experience that on a day-to-day basis.
And I like this clip because I think it kind of puts this nice like bow on a lot of what we've talked through this year, because he talks about, you know, so many different like areas of vocation, right? And how it's like, you know, the gospel in education, the gospel in mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, too, of just like the wonder with which a lot of kids see the world and God's creation.
Yeah.
So like my 6-year-old like doesn't hesitate to recognize that like everything she does and sees is thanks to God. Mm. I mean, and she doesn't have a vocation, right? I mean, she's a first grader. She spends the majority of her life drawing, but even with those things, like, is able to point those things toward God and knows that those are gifts from him. And I think, like, even the way that he talks in this, it makes me think of just that like childlike wonder and just recognition and like full dependency on God and the gospel, and just how that covers everything and everything that we do. And there's just so much like hope and encouragement in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to engage more with Kurt Thompson, I would highly encourage the listener to listen to both of those podcasts, but then also get his books. The Anatomy of the Soul is about the gospel and neuroscience. And then The Soul of Shame is a really good book about shame that is like the theological companion to a lot of Brené Brown stuff. So it's really good. What do you got, Lauren? What's the clip that stood out to you?
Yeah, I really appreciated, we recently had Lori Kinman on the show.
Yeah.
And the title of it was Efficiency, Administration, and the Recovery of Time. This is on October 15th. And it was nice for me to have her. We share some similar gifts of administration and kind of behind the scenesness. And I really appreciated the way that she kind of spoke about that, so we can listen.
I love sharing that story with people, especially young people who are starting out and they're like, oh, this is what I want to do when I grow up, or this is the path I'm on. And just reminding them that the point from A to Z is not a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have never imagined today that I'd be where I am. And just the opportunities that God has continued to open up to me from Surge and MTC, which I've just really grown to love, what they're doing and getting to be part of that has been an honor. And so that here I was just volunteering to help someone out and ending up with this job, and then it connecting me with so many new and different people than what I had been normally around. Like, it just really broadened the amount of people. So it's, you know, allowed me this opportunity to do this coaching and training, which I was my full-time job back at the body shop, but getting to now do that in, you know, I just did some process map training with a ministry in downtown Phoenix 2 weeks ago, meeting with a pastor a month ago and just helping him figure out some things with his staff and how to manage that better. Like, those opportunities that God has just allowed me to be part of. And so it's just been such a unique journey. And I think for loving things to be, you know, planned and in place and all that, I've also had to embrace God just taking me on a journey that I could have ever planned,
and right,
giving him space to do what he's doing and enjoying it and seeing the good work that's going on because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things I really appreciate about this is, in an episode where we're interviewing somebody who loves planning and loves administration and process improvement, she shares about how her journey with the Holy Spirit, you can't always do that. And so it's fun because it's fun for me because I'm a planner. I like kind of knowing where we're headed. I like having a destination, you know, with an X on the map that we're aiming for. And I think that's really good. Like, I don't think that the right answer is to throw out the map necessarily, or to not plan on where you want to get. But in some ways, it also kind of jumps in the face of this business leadership guru that so many people know of, you know, Stephen Covey's kind of begin with the end in mind. And I think in a journey of faith, you've got to be able to do both. You've got to be able to say, I'm going to plan and seek and and set goals, but I'm also going to hold those plans loosely and kind of be open-handed with them to God and say, you know, God, wherever you want me, I'll go. And so I love how Lori said that the path from point A to Z, you know, is not a straight line. It's not linear. And it's just good. It's helpful for me to hear that. And I work with a lot of people who are in career transition, and she mentioned young people. But I think it's true also when you're, you know, your kids are leaving the house and you're trying to figure out what you want the next 15 or 20 years of your career to look like, or when you quote unquote retire and you try to decide if you really want to be done working or you want to keep working and what that looks like. Every time there's a point of transition, I think it's just helpful to know that this, it's not necessarily a linear path. And so that's been really a major part of my journey, and it was helpful to hear her say that again. So what about you guys?
Yeah, I loved a lot about Lori's interview, and I had the pleasure of actually doing the interview with
her.
You did a great job with it.
Seriously.
Thanks. I sat in my closet and did it.
Nice.
for good acoustics. We do not have big closets.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I loved just hearing so much of what she had to say. And I think like one of the reasons is because I think Lori is kind of your everyday person in some ways. I mean, she's super gifted in terms of her just efficiency and organization and a lot of the administrative stuff and the things she does kind of behind the scenes. But she's also just a really normal, relatable person, which I really appreciate and love about her. So I felt like so much of what she had to say, like I could totally relate to and totally understood. And I definitely have some tendencies like her too in terms of just organization and planning. And I just love how her faithfulness to God has led her to the place that she is, because I think that, you know, kind of like she's talked about through the interview, like some of the things she's doing, she never would have envisioned as her career, but just that faithfulness and that persistence and the not, you know, like maybe pushing back or resisting some of it has led her to this place where she's just really able to like fully use her giftings and in that fully glorify God, I think. So.
Yeah. The phrase, the recovery of time, stood out to me.
Yeah.
And it, she said it so, so nonchalantly.
Right.
But just the idea that there are these hours that belong to Jesus that get kind of wasted through inefficiency, that she is giving back to people by helping them be efficient. Hours that could be spent doing the good work that you were setting out to do, spending time with your family, doing the things that really boil down to loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself more effectively through greater efficiency. And so I think that there's much to commend there. And she has saved a lot of time for people in the city and beyond. Speaking of time, it's time to wrap up this year. So I am incredibly grateful for you both and for the many conversations that we've been able to have that were both recorded and not recorded.
Yeah, we should just record everything.
Yeah, just record everything. Yeah, that'd be good. Like the Truman Show podcast. Yeah. 24 episodes a day.
We're not that interesting.
That's right. But I really appreciate you both and look forward to next year, the interviews that we're going to do, the new initiatives that we're going to launch, the things we're going to go deeper in. And so just want to encourage the listener to look for the first episode of the second season, which will be starting on January 22nd, and we'll launch on that day. And we'll look forward to connecting with you in 2019.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Before we sign off, we wanted to let you know that we would really appreciate any feedback you have for us. In particular, it would really help us out if you left a comment and gave a rating on iTunes. It will help us get the word out. A 5-star rating would be awesome, but we appreciate honesty. Also, if you are seeking some clarity about your work and calling, we would love to connect with you and help provide some career coaching. You can find out more about the career coaching at faithworkrest.com. Until next time, we pray that God would help you discern your vocation, reimagine every aspect of your occupation, and give you rich, life-giving rhythms of rest. We pray that your work would glorify God and seek the good of your neighbor. See you next week.